tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
You're going before me, and the ocean's up. Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope all of you have had a very blessed week. God is so good, right? All the time. No matter what kind of week we've had, God is still so good. His love for us does not change. He is our one constant in this world. When everything else seems to be falling apart, God is still there, right by our side. Sometimes it is hard to remember that when we are in the eye of the storm, that God is still there and He is still in control. Sometimes it's hard to remember that God is working all things out for our good. God is still in control. Things may not turn out like we imagined them in our mind, but sometimes God has something better in mind for us. We have to trust God, put our faith in Him, and let Him do His work in our lives. And so with that said, I'm going to share my three good things that God has done in my life this week. The first thing is that the roof of our house is complete. Praise God. And now with this next one, you might think, yeah, so what? No big deal. But I've mentioned before that everything God does to bless us is something to be thankful for. And so my second one for this week is God woke me up each day of this week. And that's a good thing. That means that He is not done with me yet, or with you. I still have work to do on this earth, and I was still able to celebrate my youngest granddaughter's first birthday this past week. So praise God for that. And number three, I want to praise God for the wonderful, supportive family I have. God has blessed me richly with the family that He has chose for me. And I don't know what I would do without a single one of them, and I hope I never have to find out. Yesterday, September the 6th, my husband and I celebrated a total of 17 years together. We haven't been married that long, but we have been together for a total of 17 years all the same. And so praise God for that too. Praise God. Last week we finished up with part 3 of The Armor of God. For those of you who may be hearing this for the first time, this mini-series is based off of the Bible study called The Armor of God by Priscilla Shire. The mini-series message comes from the Ephesians 6:10-19. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. It is so rich with doctrine. When Paul wrote this, it suggested that the primary emphasis for this book was that by grace we have been saved through faith. And this is not of our own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of our own works, so that no one shall boast. Friends, it is only because of the mercies of God that we are saved. Paul furthermore wanted to prepare the Christian for their walk with God and for us to know that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, in order to be prepared for all that we will face here on earth. We need to put on the full armor of God so that we can withstand the evil days and the evil one and his minions. God has provided literally everything for us, right down to every detail of our lives. We cannot boast about all the things that we have accomplished. This should keep us humble because we can look at all the lost souls around us in this world and we can say, there we go, except by the grace of God. If not for the grace of God, we would be there right along beside all the lost souls. God has given us the Bible to prepare the Christian for a spiritual battle that is too much for us, but not too much for us if we put on the armor of God. And even that he has prepared for us. So let us bow our head in a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. We recognize that we can do nothing without you. All that we are and all that we have is because of your grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness. Our salvation and our reconciliation is because of you sacrificing your Son on the cross for us. We want to thank you for every blessing in our lives, though we do not deserve them by ourselves. Dear Heavenly Father, we put on the full armor of God today. We will stay in your word and study it daily. And Father, please assist us in doing so every day. Please protect our mind from bad thoughts. Help us to stay focused on the things that are good. Please protect our eyes and keep us looking up to you at all times. Guard our hearts. Make all things that come in or go out pleasing to you. Please help keep our heart open to you and easily led by the Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, to love the truth and hate the lies. Mold us and make us more like you every day. Lead us away from mistakes and untruths. Everywhere we go, Father, help us to keep peace and to have peace in our hearts. Guide us on what to do and where to go. Dear Heavenly Father, please build in each of us a stronger faith and protect each of us from any attacks from the enemy. Put your word in our heart. Lead us not into temptation. Let your word do a mighty work in each of us. Give us boldness and knowledge to love and to defend others. Dear Heavenly Father, please use me as a vessel to reach your children. May the words I speak come straight from you, and whoever the message is meant for, may they receive it loud and clear and with open hearts. Thank you in advance for these answered prayers. In your Son Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Thank you all for joining me in the moment of prayer, and so let's begin. We are on part 4 of the Armor of God, and today we are going to be talking about the shoes of peace. I don't know about the rest of you out there in the listening audience, but I feel like from the moment I started this mini-series 4 weeks ago that I have been under constant attack, and with each passing week the devil seems to ramp up his attacks on me. The pressure seems to keep mounting. Every week since the beginning of this message, one or more areas in my armor have taken a huge chink from the enemy. The enemy does not want me talking about any of this. Have any of you been experiencing similar issues? The more in-depth the word we get, the more the devil tries to do harm to us. It's funny. Well, not funny. That's not the word I'm looking for. Let's just say God's timing is always perfect. He knows what we need, when we need it, and for me, I really need this message myself this week. The shoes of peace. There have been some things going on in my family, not with my husband, my children, or my grandchildren, but with a few of my other family members that involved me this past week, and I will be honest with you. I feel like I have been drowning in the sea of mental anguish. But you know what? That is Satan. This week I have been struggling with finding some peace in my own life. Friends, it is normal for all of us to go through times in our life where we struggle, where we are thrown off balance, where Satan gets into our mind because we have allowed it to be so. There are times when I feel like giving up too, just like you. But I won't, because I know that if Satan is talking, and I know that that is what he wants, is for you and for I to give up. He wants to draw me and you away from God. That is where you and I must recognize what is happening to us and tell Satan that he just needs to go away. That is when you need to tell him, and that is when you and I need to dig our heels in even deeper into the Word of God. That is when it is more important than ever to keep our eyes focused up on God. The people, the things of this world, will disappoint us and will hurt us. We are all a flawed people, but God is perfect, and only God is perfect. When you feel like the world is against you, go lean on the rock. Seek God. Seek shelter in Him. He alone will not disappoint. He will not leave you. He will not put conditions on his love for you, such as some other people might, as long as you do this, then I will continue to love you. God doesn't do that. His love is unconditional, without condition. He loves us no matter what. God knows our heart even when people fail us. When we are in the eye of the storm, and things around us are just pure chaos, be still and know that our God is always with us. He alone can calm the storm and restore our peace if we let Him. The Bible tells us that we will be persecuted for standing up for our own beliefs, and believe me, you will. We all have to give an account one day for our actions, how we lived our life on this earth, how we treated people, whether or not we lived our life for God, and whether we furthered the kingdom building or were we a part of tearing it down. What someone else says about you or thinks about you does not define you. No one knows your heart like God does. You do your part and keep your eyes on the prize, heaven, eternity with God. Don't seek revenge on those that hurt you. God will take care of your battle when their day comes for judgment. Yes, friends, we really do have a very evil, very invisible enemy. It is true. It's not just something made up. We cannot survive the storms of life without God's peace. Satan knows that where there is no peace, there is also no victory. God's peace gives us a firm grip, which we need, because this world is not firm. This world is wishy-washy, up one day and down the next. God's peace gives us stability in a world that's simply gone mad. God's peace allows us to keep our footing when everything around us is just completely out of control. God's peace helps us to keep us sane when we feel like we are going insane. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, the Bible tells us, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." Friends, when God's peace is locked into your life, it will become your guard and your protector. God's peace is an inner tranquility and calmness of the soul that really and truly does surpass all understanding. Have you ever had something really turbulent going on in your life, and by all outward appearances, you should really be losing your mind, and yet on the inside, it is like having an outer body experience? From the inside, you see all the chaos going around you. It's as if you were in a bubble. But on the inside, you feel safe, protected, calm, and you know that everything's going to be okay. It just all feels so surreal. Yes, I have felt that before, too. And one such experience was when my dad passed away. I asked God for help, and He gave it to me. My prayer was answered. We have peace with God. Thanksgiving activates peace. Trust fuels thanksgiving. In Colossians 3:15, the Bible tells us, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called." Peace is not only your guard, folks, it's also your guide. Anywhere peace is lacking, Satan is at work. Friends, Satan knows that if he keeps eating away at your peace, he can bring on tension, and it can fan out into all directions, spreading out to your relationships, corroding them with disagreement and frustration. How many are you with me out there today? How many of you are feeling just like this? Can any of you relate to what I'm saying? I can relate to this because these are some of the things that I am going through this week. And so, as I said before, I need this message today as much as you guys do. Whenever you feel an unbearable sense of unrest inside or overwhelming distress in your relationships, Satan is somewhere in the middle of it all, stirring it up. Knowing and recognizing this, we have got to stay at peace with our circumstances. We have to remember that God's got this. God promises to never leave us, and He promises to deliver us to the other side of the storm. We must trust Him and have faith in Him. Seek, ask, and you will receive. Friends, we have not because we ask not. One of Satan's favorite things to do is to stir up turmoil in our hearts and in our relationships. Our past sins, though forgiven, any current sin, and even the sins of others, provides lots of working material for Satan. If you have ever been the victim of abuse or injustice, you have to know that Satan will ride on the coattails of all the wrongdoing, and he will keep that pot boiling if you allow him to do so. What may start out as simmering evolves into full-on anger, and left in Satan's hands can then turn into unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. Then, with these strongholds in place, the people involved will most likely start to create walls that will even keep out people with the best of intentions of helping, closed away from our heart. When this happens, we become on edge, defensive, unable to foster a healthy relationship with the other person. We can become crippled by the chaos. Satan is always out there to steal our peace. A person with unguarded feet, without shoes, are left out of commission if something dangerous happens to their feet. It renders that person unable to stand firm for long periods of time. It renders that person unable to move with agility or to move without further impairment. A life without peace is simply that: unprotected, crippled, unable to move forward, hindered from maturing and developing in a healthy way. Have you ever witnessed a lack of peace crippling someone? Perhaps you have lived it. If so, can you think of a few ways that your potential or your growth has been stunted by the unrest or the lack of peace in your life? How has it kept you from moving forward? Can I be honest with you for a moment? In my own experience, at different times in my own life, lack of peace has prevented me from having a clear vision of my future or the end result. It makes you feel bogged down like quicksand from the mental anguish. It leaves you exhausted, utterly, mentally, physically exhausted. The anxiety and the feeling of panic just makes you feel more stuck, and then it becomes a vicious cycle. All the negative makes you forget all the positive. The chaos just keeps you in bondage to the devil. You strain and you struggle against the chains that bind you. You lose sight of truth because of your feelings and your emotions. In the Old Testament, you read of the word shalom. It means in Hebrew, peace. Peace does not refer to the absence of chaos, but rather to an overall deep sense of harmony, health, and wholeness in the midst of chaos. In fact, true peace is best detected and measured against the backdrop of chaos and confusion. When there is a mass amount of instability in your life, yet you remain steadfast and in peace, when disappointment and confusion are near, yet you are still able to walk with spirit-filled confidence, that, my friends, is real peace that surpasses all understanding. That is God's perfect peace. That is how you know that you are wearing the gospel of peace. Satan knows how easily we can become crippled by chaos, and that is why it is so important that we remain protected against his tactics. That is why it is so important for us to be prepared to rise to our feet and move forward when we are required to do so. In the book of Ephesians, Paul has provided some instruction to help us live abundantly, keep our sanity, and enjoy a stable, balanced life no matter what upsetting circumstances come up against us. If you are struggling with a lack of peace right now, I want you to ask yourself, if peace, true peace, were ruling your life right now, instead of the chaos surrounding you, how would your behavior change in this situation? In what way would your verbal responses change? and how would your ability to function physically be improved? And so while you are thinking on that for a moment, I'm going to go ahead and stop here and take a short break. This first song is called Rise Up.
Broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Ooh, mountains, we gon' walk it out, and ooh, mountains. And I rise up, I rise like the day. I rise up, I rise unafraid. I rise up, and I do it a thousand times again. And I rise up, I like the waves. I rise up, in spite of the ache. I rise up, and I do it a thousand. Silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Ooh, mountains, bring it to its feet. For that we have each other. I will rise a thousand times again. Possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worthless treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have everything. What does it mean? It all. You can't just stop the look in the mirror, proud devil's looking back at you. Define the life you're living, not by what you take but what you're keeping. And if you bet on love, there's no way you'll ever lose. Take a stand, make a stand for what's right. It's always worth, always worth the fight. It all means nothing, and if you're gonna stand up for something, you can't just stop the top. You got to walk that walk. Yes, you do. It all means nothing, and if you're gonna stand up for something, and I stand up for you, self-respect, dignity, if that's all you got, then you got all you need. And without that, you don't have a thing. Oh, no, no.
Rise up, love, lift your hands. Stand with you, cause I understand. Ain't here to judge, just to take a stand. The greater plan's the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out and touch with the savior's hand. On rock we stand like this native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me on the Hope Show today. I'm so happy that you have joined me. I have a lot to share with you today, so I am not going to spend much time on recapping what we have gone over. But if you are just tuning in today, I strongly urge you to go to the shaziz.net later on in the day. Click on the podcast page and scroll down to part 4 of The Armor of God. And don't miss out on any part of this mini-series. Not only go back and check out today's podcast, but if there's any of it that you've missed, please, I urge you to go back from day one, part one, and just at any time of your convenience, you know, just go back and listen to these messages. And so, anyway, like I said, I don't want any of you to miss out on any of this mini-series because it's so important, and I know that you will be blessed. And as always, please share the link with your family and friends. Today's message is about putting on the gospel shoes of peace. We have been talking about how Satan will try to destroy your peace at all costs. So let's continue. Have any of you ever saw someone playing sports that required them to wear shoes with cleats on the bottom of their feet? The purpose of the cleats is so that the person wearing the shoes can keep their footing because the shoes are designed to clench into the ground for better stability. Without them, a person would slip and slide on a slick terrain, causing their feet to come out from under them. And they would fall. For example, what if a certain sports team was playing in the rain? This is also a very important feature for the shoes of the gospel of peace. Without this feature, we would not be able to stand firm against Satan's attacks. If you are hurting and feeling angry between you and another person right now, or if there is something still lingering from the past between you and someone else, can I tell you? The peace of God can bridge the great gap and bring healing and restoration. We just have to let God do His part, and we have to do our part. Unity in relationships puts Satan in his place. Life is oftentimes messy. Relationships can be messy. The road can be long and bumpy, and good traction is crucial for victory. Dealing with other people in a way that is healthy and promotes peace requires a supernatural endowment that can only come from God Himself. Only the shoes of peace can do it. In the New American Standard Bible in Colossians 3:13, the Bible says, "Bearing with one another." It implies that unity can be quite difficult, but patience is a must. The terrain that leads toward restoring and maintaining peace with God's people can feel like a long, uphill climb, depending upon their personality, their weaknesses, and their intentions. Choose to do your part anyway. This does not mean that you will be best friends with everyone. It just means that you will do everything necessary to keep strife and division from happening, as we also try to prevent there from becoming an irreversible hole in our heart and in the heart of another. There are big things at stake, like your peace of mind, your emotional availability to your loved ones, your freedom from shame and guilt. And that's just to name a few of the things that are here at stake. Your most important relationships hang in the balance. Only God's anchoring peace gives us the security that we need to keep us from getting knocked down and staying down, preventing us from years of anguish over the should-have, could-haves, and would-haves. Every human being on this planet longs for nurturing and to be with somebody, to be with someone or with someone. But sadly, many people waste many years of their lives in discord with someone, lacking peace. This is not how God intended us to live our lives. The vacuum within our hearts can only be occupied by the one thing for which it was created, and that's a relationship, an intimacy with God. Peace is the key component to our spiritual armor. There are two types of peace. The first one is the peace with God, and the second is the peace of God. Peace with God is resting on the assurances of His promises, praying, spending time in His Word and with Him. Peace of God is applying the Bible to your life and having the knowledge and the faith, knowing it is true, and having complete trust in God to see you through all of the circumstances. The supernatural power for standing firm under the mounting pressures of daily life is only possible through having a deep-seated sense of peace and confidence that can only be found in a saving relationship with God. I've often wondered how anyone can survive who doesn't have God in their life. I have often wondered how I survived when I was a lot younger before I knew God as I do now. And friends, I'm here to tell you that my only answer in regard to myself is that God loved me so much that no matter how I behaved or how long I denied Him, He still loved me enough to not give up on me even when I wanted to give up on myself. He never left my side. And friends, I couldn't have survived the things of my past if not for God always looking out for me and guiding me behind the scenes, controlling my life even when I was so arrogant to think that I was the one controlling my own life. And that's even so today, folks. I wouldn't survive the circumstances of my life, the storms that come and go. I wouldn't survive those if it weren't for God right there by my side. And when it got too hard for me to go it alone, He carries me. Even now, if not for God's love and mercy, I wouldn't be who I am today. I'm not trying to sound hopeless, but realistically speaking, everything of this world is unstable, and it's disappointing, and it's messy. We are in Satan's playground. Jobs can be lost. Economy can crash. Family and friends can disappoint and fail. Dream homes can burn down. Death can claim loved ones. And if our emotional state isn't directed by God, we will constantly remain in a state of turmoil, chaos, confusion, upset, unrest, up one day and down the next. We need an anchor in our soul, and that anchor is God. Otherwise, we are dead men and women walking. Peace with God is the answer, the only answer. Praise God that there is an available answer, an ever-present and everlasting answer. Praise God. The gospel doesn't only stabilize our hearts, our lives, it makes stability available even with the most unlovable and difficult people or groups of people in our life. Our salvation isn't just about going to heaven and escaping hell. Peace with God establishes our relationship with God, and as a result, we can experience the peace of God. In John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Upon our salvation, we were given such an amazing gift, the gift of peace. It is a God-given gift. It's hand-delivered. It is our job to choose to activate it in our lives. And so how do we go about activating the shoes of peace? We activate the shoes of peace by prayer and petition by God, or to God, by sharing an intimate relationship with God, and by the knowledge of truth. Trust leads to thankfulness, and gratitude activates peace. When we choose thankful prayer over wallowing in anxiety and worry, we are demonstrating our trust in God. Prayer shrouded in gratitude expresses a firm faith. Concentrating on God instead of our circumstances tells God that we believe He is able to override any circumstance in our lives. When God sees this type of prayer, a grateful heart filled with faith, when our minds are focused solely on Him, the peace of God expands within us. It stabilizes our runaway emotions. It centers our life. It centers our mind. It guides our footsteps. It softens our tongue. It starts to tear down those walls that we have created and keeps us from being so difficult to be around. Friends, it is so very important for each of us to remember to fight our anxiety, our fear, our worry, our chaos, what makes us rush around, to fight our impatience, our anger, and all things negative by going to God in prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude, because this activates peace within us. Changing gears for a moment, have you ever gone on a vacation and you've had to pack a few different types of shoes? Why would you do that? Perhaps you've decided to vacation in one of the upper, cooler states like Colorado, Idaho, Wyoming, someplace where there's mountains. You have set the itinerary to include some hiking, maybe some skiing, maybe taking in a very nice, classy restaurant one night, and then spending some time touring the sights and the smells of everyday living in the local towns near where you are vacationing. Friends, you cannot use the same pair of shoes for every activity. Each activity calls for a different type of footwear. If you want to go hiking, you need the appropriate footwear to do so. If you want to go skiing, you need a different pair of shoes. When you go to a restaurant, you need a dressier type of footwear. And for taking in the local sights, tennis shoes or sandals are appropriate. Spiritual warfare calls for shoes that are appropriate for the occasion, too. We need fewer fancy shoes and more to-go shoes. Shoes with a purpose. Sturdy shoes to keep our feet safe and protected. The kind that make us ready and capable of doing battle with the enemy. Having your feet fitted with the gospel of peace makes you ready for anything that Satan throws your way. In 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, the Bible tells us, "The weapons of warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ." Friends, we are messengers of the good news. How can we be that if we are not prepared for it? How can we be the messenger of good news if we are not living a life worthy of God? You can't shout, "Our God reigns," until He actually does reign in our mind, our heart, and in every circumstance. Our feet have been made ready by the gospel. Now we need to go out there as God purposed for each of our lives and tell others of what God has done good for your life. Share God's word. Shout it to the mountaintops. But in order for you to do that, you have to be living right and obeying God, trusting and having faith in Him. You have to have a right relationship with Him, and you have to stay in prayer and thanksgiving with Him. When strongholds are demolished in our lives and we get a taste of what that true freedom feels like, the result should be gratitude that overflows into action. We should be people who go freely into the enemy's territory and freely tells others of the victory that can be theirs also in Jesus. For a moment, picture this. Picture yourself skydiving from an airplane. Of course you have a professional skydiver instructor with you from plane to ground. You are anchored to them because they know what they are doing to land safely, and you do not. Now imagine for a moment that after the initial run of adrenaline, the fear, the anxiety, asking yourself, once it's too late to change your mind, why did I decide to do this in the first place? Maybe perhaps after all that, knowing that you are anchored to the instructor and that he knows what he's doing, picture yourself relaxing with the help of that instructor guiding your descent. This, folks, is an accurate portrait of peace. God is our instructor. He is guiding us. He is keeping us steady, assured, unwavering, even capable of smiling when everything going on around us says that we should be screaming for dear life. This is the spiritual confidence that comes from real peace of God. And so, folks, I just want to say right now that this wraps up part 4 of the armor of God, and so I want us to go to closing prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, You have given us the armor to enable us to stand firm against the attacks of the enemy and the sin fighting for our hearts. Help us every day to take up this armor so that we do not fail. When one day, when we enter into your presence, we all long to hear the words, "Welcome home, good and faithful servant." Please help each and every one of us to persevere by taking up your truth, your righteousness, your peace, faith, salvation in the Word of God, and please keep us in prayer each and every day as we armor up every day. Remind us that prayer isn't just for when times are tough, that we need it every day. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive us of our sins and help us to show the same mercy to others. Where there is anger, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, we ask that you please dissolve it in us, and to please dissolve it in anyone else. Help us to cast it as far as the east is to the west, as you do for us. If anyone is holding a grudge against us for any reason, Father, soften their hearts toward us and bring them back home to us. In your Son Jesus' holy name, And all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, I just want to say God bless each and every one of you for joining me today. God bless each and every one of you. Anyway, I look forward to joining all of you again next week. Same time, same place. And so this first closing song is going to be East to West by Casting Crowns.
Here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Endless reminding of my sin, and time again your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far held its breath. And in your light I found rest. Tearing through the night, riding on the storm, staring down the fire, my eyes found yours, shining like the sun.
I'm a soul of 11.